Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, all you movie fans out there. This is Betty Jo Tucker, thanking you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. We have a great show for you today, folks, because we're expecting Canadian filmmaker Kate Melville to call in to discuss Picture Day, her award-winning movie, which is being released here in the United States on this very day. Kate's unusual coming-of-age comedy marks her debut as a feature filmmaker and has already earned an Audience Choice Award at the River Run International Film Festival and was named Best New Canadian Feature Film at the Whistler Film Festival. You know, folks, I had the opportunity to watch a screener of Picture Day over the weekend, and believe me, it's wonderful. I was so impressed by the movie's outstanding character development and wonderful performances and first-rate direction. And you know that I'm honest with you about this, folks, because if I didn't like it, I would tell you. And when I love a movie, I want to tell you all about it. So I think that Kate is here with us now, and I'm going to bring her in. It's my great pleasure to say welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Kate.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
Well, it's such a treat to have you with us, especially on the release date for Picture Day. You must have a lot of interviews scheduled today. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I've had a few. It feels a little bit like Christmas. It's so exciting when you make a sort of small film with actors, and this is a story you really care about, and suddenly there's this day where it's available and you can sort of share it with the world. So it's a big day for Picture Day, for sure.
And it's a good day for movie fans because it's so different. Now, I have to be honest with you, and I have to let you know that the reason I wanted to see Picture Day was because you were wise enough to cast Tatiana Maslany in the role of your Claire, your lead character. And I've just been such a big fan of her ever since the BBC America TV series Orphan Black. So I want to just ask you, how did you happen to pick Tatiana to play Claire? Tell us a little bit about that and about the main character. She's such a memorable film character. So if we could start out with that would make me very happy.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a character-based piece, Picture Day, and Claire, who's a character that Tatiana plays, it was kind of the very first step as a director. It was my directorial debut, and I knew it was an actor-driven piece. And with coming-of-age stories, it's all about the characters and who you're watching on screen. And I was like, if I can find my Claire, I'll be set. I'll be fine. And I'm a screenwriter here in Canada, and I'm so thrilled to have Tatiana's talents be seen by the world through Orphan Black. It's you know, like every overnight success, you know, they're 10 years in the making, and we've known about her here in Canada and just been so blown away by her talents for a while now. So it's so great to have people be discovering what an amazing actress she is. So I had seen her on a couple of Canadian TV shows that I'd written for, and then also she was in a film called Grown Up Movie Star that she won the Breakout Award at Sundance for back in 2010. So I sort of spotted her, and I was like, oh, if that girl could play Claire, I would be so set. So about a year before we started shooting, I approached her, and it was lucky enough we were with the same agency, and I sent her the script, and she really liked it. And then it started this real collaboration between the two of us. So we met a year before we shot. we actually, the three leads and I got together and shot little sample scenes to get funding for the film. And then over the course of that year, I would send Tatiana versions of the script. We would meet for coffee. We would talk about stuff. We had, like, workshops in church basements, and they would improvise. And some of Tatiana's improvisations would end up in the script. So it, Claire is a really well-realized character, but I cannot take full credit for that. That is very much a co-creation between Tatiana and myself.
Well, I wondered about that because it was just so well done, and I was kind of thinking that maybe the two of you had worked together, and then I read Jason White's review about Picture Day. Oh, what a wonderful rave review that is, and I'm going to quote from his review here. He said, Kate and Tatiana have managed to create a protagonist that's unique, infuriating, complex, and memorable. I thought, he was exactly right about that. Well, does Claire's high school experience share a resemblance to your own, Kate?
Well, Tatiana and I sort of laugh about it because we were both kind of really nerdy in high school. Like, neither of us were as cool as Claire at all. My joke is I'm much more of a Henry, who's this Claire in the script has this relationship with this kid, Henry, that she used to babysit, who's now shown up as a freshman in high school. She's repeating her last year of high school, so it's a whole new power shift. They're at the same school together. And I'm much more of a Henry. I found high school very overwhelming, and I was certainly not as outspoken or sort of gleefully obnoxious as Claire is. So I think Claire in some ways kind of says everything I wish I could. And I think Tatiana was really excited to explore somebody that bold. And she is infuriating as a character sometimes. Like, she doesn't always make great decisions. But I love stories about people making bad decisions because we make bad decisions as people. And it's part of, I think, what makes us who we are. And I think particularly as you're growing up and trying to find your way from childhood to adulthood, and Claire's a bit stuck, you know, she's repeating her last year of high school, and, you know, she hasn't made great choices along the way. And that was something we really wanted to remain true to. She's not like a perfect role model, but she's certainly, I think, relatable and memorable. And I think Tatiana particularly really tapped into this kind of sadness at the core of her, this sort of that there's this tough exterior masking this real kind of inner vulnerability. And while Claire is, I think, quite funny and brash and stuff, Tatiana, because she's incredible, can play all those sides together. And it's a part that, you know, you need that great, talented actress to make it work. And I was just so lucky to have her. And I think, you know, for her, it's a fun part, you know, like,
oh, I think she really
wants,
had
she's
fun.
She's in every scene and she's fun to watch. So
she's definitely fun to watch. And yes, she is infuriating sometimes, but, but do you know, Kate, our heart goes out to her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, with the script that you've written, the dialogue and the collaboration that you had with Tatiana, with this character, my husband is kind of cynical about movies about high school, and he just sat spellbound while we watched the screener, and he's just been talking about it ever since we saw it.
Oh, that's so amazing. Those are my favorite stories. So when people say, like, my husband doesn't normally like coming-of-age films, or my teenage son watched it with me and he didn't, I thought he would get up and he didn't, you know, like, when someone in high school or someone who doesn't normally go for a coming-of-age film likes the film, those are the greatest compliments to me. You know, I think
you definitely deserve the compliments for that. And you mentioned Henry, that you say you're in high school, you were more like Henry, the character. And this is the first time that I've seen this young actor. So
yeah,
I was fascinated by him, even his blue hair and all.
He goes through a bit of a transformation.
How did you find him?
Yeah, Spencer's a real find. Spencer is, I think, a sort of an unsung hero of the film because, you know, T'Challa's work so incredible, but, you know, it's sort of the film follows two relationships that she's having in the movie. She's having this, there's this kid she used to babysit, and then she's also having a relationship with a much older musician who's, like, really far too old to be dating a high school girl, and they're both kind of willfully blind to that for a while. And with Spencer, who played Henry Spencer Van Wyck, I initially met him, I wrote for a television show in Canada called Degrassi, which is sort of a high school show, and he came in to audition for that show. And the thing I really noticed about him when he came in for his audition, which was so good that they ended up turning him into a series regular, a cast member, was he was a head-to-toe actor. He is such a physical actor, and it's really rare to find in a young talent. Often kids are great from the neck up, but their bodies are doing something totally different. And he came into audition for a scene where he was, like, I think in a closet with a girl at a party and didn't know what to do, you know, and he was so funny and physical.
Oh, he is
a fact. He got something really interesting. And he as well was on board a year before we shot, and we actually did a bunch of physical workshops with him to find Henry's walk and that kind of stiff physicality that he has and how guarded he is physically. And that walk and that the mannerisms he has as Henry are very much not Spencer as a person. He's a very laid-back, friendly, easygoing guy who's super outgoing. That's all sort of how he found that character.
He did inhabit that character, and it doesn't hurt that the camera loves him.
Oh, I know. He has a wonderful quality where he's just on the cusp between boy and man. And and then, of course, we dye his hair bright blue in the middle of the movie. So then he cuts quite a striking figure.
I'm thinking about that color for my hair now after I saw Henry's
blue hair. Oh, I know. Well, Helen Mirren showed up at the BAFTAs with pink hair, and she looked beautiful, like just fantastic. And I was like, oh, man, that looks great. Spencer loved his blue hair. He was on Twitter tweeting about it as it happened. He actually kept it for about 3 weeks after we finished shooting until I think his agent was like ready to murder him because he kept showing up for auditions for other things with his blue hair. But he loved it. He thought it was such a hoot, and he just adored it. So he was a really good
supporter. Well, we adored it on him too, and he and T'Challa had just remarkable chemistry that developed on screen together, and I know that the director should take some credit for that. So congratulations on the work that you've done with these two characters and with the third member of the triangle, the older musician. And as I understand it, he was played by Stephen McCarthy, who is a real musician.
He is. He's an actor and a musician. I initially met him when he was studying at the National Theatre School in Montreal, and I was studying at Concordia. So we met as students. We've known each other for about 15 years. But he also has this big, crazy 10-piece funk band called the Elasto Citizens. So in a moment of probably artistic inspiration and logistical blindness, I said, let's put the whole band in the movie too. Which was really fun, and all the concert scenes of the band are actual concerts, so we just went and started shooting their shows, and we incorporated that footage into the movie. But I think he does a remarkable job as an actor, sort of walking that very fine line, because that character is a 33-year-old who initially sort of hooks up with Claire and doesn't realize how young she is, but then once he knows, does pursue it. The fact that that relationship is credible, and you do get why they get along initially, and then it sort of course goes south, as these things sort of inevitably do with that much of an age difference and power imbalance. I thought he just did a really beautiful job of balancing what really connects these two people and yet the kind of darker drives that push him them eventually apart.
It was very realistic, and I think we have a wonderful producer for our show, Nikki Starr, who's wrangling our chat right now. And by the way, we have another radio show in the chat room. We have Nancy Lombardo from Comedy Concepts. Her Comedy Concepts show is one of the funniest shows that I've ever seen. She's a talented stand-up comic and actress herself, and she's saying hi to you.
Hi there.
And hi to Nancy. And Nikki, I'm going to ask her to be sure to see Picture Day, because it's the kind of music that she really likes, and she loves music. So I'm hoping that she can see Picture Day before long. You can only stay for 15 minutes.
I'm so happy that we had a chance to chat together. And if you're interested in the music from Picture Day, it's all on our website too, which is picturedaythemovie.com. And I'm so excited that people have a chance to see it.
Oh, I just thought it was just really unique and surprising. And is there anything that you're working, anything else that you're working on that you would like to tell our listeners before you leave?
Well, I've certainly got the directing bug at this point. Having been a writer for 10 or 15 years now, Picture Day was my first directing experience, and while it was at times very overwhelming and certainly a big change from being at home alone in my pajamas, I really did love it, particularly for the collaboration and the chance to work with other actors. So I think I'm writing another feature right now about I won't stop. And one of the good points, if you've been a working screenwriter for a while, you do have a good pile of unproduced scripts at the end of the day. So I'm hoping that I'll have the chance to have them see the light of day. So I'm working on a script about a 70s commune, and that goes a little bit awry over the course of a long, cold Canadian winter. And I just hope that I'll have the chance to work with actors as talented as Tatiana and Stephen Spencer again. That certainly was probably the best part of the whole experience.
Well, I hope that you do too. And I want to ask you if when you have that project ready to talk about, would you be willing to come back and talk with us again?
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us, and for being such a wonderful guest today. Sorry about the shortness of time, but you really have piqued everybody's curiosity. In fact, Comedy Concepts, Nancy Lombardo says, "I love how this film sounds. I'm in." So that's the way a lot of our listeners are going to.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a fun chance to see the funny side of Tatiana Maslany that people may not have seen before. She's also a really funny gal and a really skilled improviser. So we have improv championships in Canada. Kids in high schools compete in improv, and certainly with the Second City background, it's something we're very proud of here in Canada. So that's certainly a chance to see a new side of Tatiana in Picture Day, because she can be pretty funny alongside everything else.
Absolutely. That's. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I picked up on that too. And I'll be in trouble with your publicist if I keep you any longer.
Okay. Well, it was really lovely to talk to you about it, so thank you so much.
Oh, you too, Kate. And best of luck with Picture Day. And we'll look forward to having you back on the show the next time you're ready to talk about movies. Okay.
Thank you so much. Take good care.
Thank you. You too. Bye for now.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. What an interesting woman. I mean, Nikki, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to bring you in, because I know you would have loved talking with Kate, but she was on a very strict schedule, and we were so lucky to get her. So Nikki, do you what are your comments about Kate and about the possibility of wanting to see Picture Day now?
Well, I watched the trailer while you guys were talking, and I can't wait to see it. Yeah, it's totally a movie at my genre and everything, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, great. And I see that Nancy is happy about that. And,
mm-hmm.
And she says that she did improv with Bruce Willis and Robin Williams. Oh,
nice.
She said, I get so jealous about all of the things that Nancy does. So, dear listeners, if you want to hear some of Nancy Lombardo's Special Fun. Her show Comedy Concepts is on usually on Mondays and Fridays. She has Fried Fridays and Manic Mondays. So take a look. Check in Blog Talk Radio for Comedy Concepts and check out Nancy Lombardo's show. And you can find her. She's very active on Facebook, too. So anything else that you would like to mention, Nikki, before I go on? I have a couple of other things that I want to talk about this afternoon.
I'm good. She just was so well-spoken, and she's young, but she's so smart. It was really, really refreshing. I loved it.
I agree. It's such fun to have guests like Kate who are just getting started in the film world and then to watch their success. And speaking of success, I'm glad I have some time left to talk about Julianne Moore for a few minutes. Now, I am ashamed to confess at not enjoying her acting at the beginning of her career. But wow, has she won me over lately. The latest example is her performance in The English Teacher. Well, again, we're going into the high school world, this time more with the teachers than the students. And this movie was released last Friday. I was sitting there just laughing because it's a farce. It's just a fun farce. But I couldn't help thinking how boring it would be if everyone were perfect. And this movie, it's just an amusing comedy with a host of flawed characters. And the one with the most faults just happens to be the heroine, who's a 40-year-old, unmarried, high school English teacher. And that's the part that Julianne Moore plays so brilliantly. She's a finicky woman who even grades her dates, her suitors. And when she's not teaching, she spends most of her time reading books by her favorite authors, and she avoids personal relationships and enjoys an uncomplicated life free from real drama, at least until a former student shows up and brings out another side of her, which changes her in ways she never expected. And although it isn't a pretty sight, it's a very entertaining one. I think that this is Julianne Moore's best performance. Of course, you have to take that with a grain of salt, because I didn't care too much for her performances early on. She's fearless here in displaying this teacher's imperfections, and she makes us care about her character no matter how foolish she behaves in various situations. So in a way, this character is similar to the character that Kate Melville was describing in Picture Day. I mean, we have a heroine who's kind of infuriating and, complex. but the one that Kate Melville talked about, that Tatiana plays, doesn't have as many flaws as the one played by Julianne and Moore. Also, in this cast, in The English Teacher, we get to see Nathan Lane as a flamboyant head of a drama department in high school, because the teacher tries to get the former student's play put on by the drama department in the high school. And, of course, Nathan Lane is the head of the drama department, so he gets to be in his showbiz element in a role, and he's just terrific. And the actor Michael Angarano, who's been around for a while, but he's definitely grown up now. The last time I saw him, I think, was in Sky High, and he's just great as this former student who went off to New York to be a playwright and wasn't able to have success there, and then comes back with this play that he lets the teacher read, and then she just goes on a mission to make sure that he has some success and not go into law school like his father, played by Greg Kinnear, wants him to do. So it's really, really a very entertaining movie. So I recommend that. It was released last Friday. I don't think it's playing all over the country, but anybody who's in an area where it is playing, I recommend that they see it. And now, finally, as an important public service, I want to remind everyone that this Saturday, May 25th, is National Tap Dance Day. In fact, it's the 23rd National Tap Dance Day, having been signed into law by, believe it or not, President George W. Bush back in 1989 to celebrate tap dancing as an American art form. And guess why May 25th was picked as the date? It happens to be the birthday of Bill Bojangles Robinson, one of the greatest tappers of all time. Just go to YouTube and watch his staircase routine with Shirley Temple, and you'll know and you'll see what I mean. Of course, I have a lot of other tap dancing favorites in the movies, as Nikki Wells knows, and we've talked about them on so many shows, but I'm going to list them again. Gene Kelly, Ruby Keeler, Eleanor Powell, Donald O'Connor, the Nicholas Brothers, Fred Astaire, Ann Miller, and Gregory Hines. And Nikki also knows that I've been a tapper during many years of my life. So imagine my joy at actually meeting one of the greats during the 100-year birthday celebration at the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego a few years ago. I'll tell you about that. At one point in the evening festivities, and it was very festive. Any of you that have been fortunate enough to be at the Hotel Del Coronado, you know how festive that could be. But I noticed a lonely little old woman sitting in a corner, and as I decided to go over to keep her company, and as I came closer, I realized she looked familiar. And when I sat down beside her, I saw that she was the legendary Ruby Keeler. And so I said, what a coincidence. I'm taking a tap dancing class, and the instructor showed us 42nd Street just last week because she wanted us to see the best. And so Ruby Keeler, who was, you could tell, was suffering from crippling arthritis, she was actually sitting in a wheelchair, just looked up at me and smiled, and she said, oh, that's good news. I didn't know people watched my films anymore. So after assuring her that that was wrong, she was wrong about that, I enjoyed an intimate conversation with one of filmdom's greatest hoofers, and that's one of my most cherished memories. Well, our show is a little short today. I think that most people are much more interested, as they well should be, in what's going on in Oklahoma. And I just want everyone to know that our thoughts and prayers are going out to the people there who are suffering as a result of those horrible tornadoes that have caused so much damage in Oklahoma. And I'd like to remind everyone to help by giving a donation to the Red Cross. And it doesn't matter how much. Any amount will help. And thanks again to Kate Melville for her timely interview, and to our chatters and other listeners for tuning in. And I want to give a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support and for picking this episode as a staff pick, which will be featured tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio. I hope everyone enjoyed the show, short as it is. I know I sure did. Please come back next time for our Cleopatra 50th anniversary show with special guests, film historian James Cold Harrison and actress Joan Benedict Steiger. And we've also invited actor Martin Landau. We haven't gotten any confirmation yet, but he appeared in Cleopatra 50 years ago. That's all for now, folks. But to help everybody get ready for our Cleopatra 50th anniversary show, here's Gilda Radner to take us out with her famous tap audition. And I think I'm going to start tapping along with Gilda right away.
My name is Gilda Radner. I've had extensive experience in children's theater, worked for the Board of Education. I was a theater major at University of Michigan, and I've had a year of tap and ballet when I was 8. And for my audition today, I'm going to do a number which I choreographed myself, and I wrote the song myself.
Can you help me? Start. I really want this job.